All right, welcome to day 12 today, where we will be going over the Chaste Guardian of the Virgin. I will preface today's episode with a bit of an apology. I did forget the Litany of St. Joseph at the tail end of yesterday's recording, so you're not out of it. You still should do that for yesterday if you have not already. If you didn't catch me, but I did miss that, so sorry about that. But today we have another great reflection here today. So before we get started, let's open this day in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Good and loving Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we are able to spend together reflecting on our spiritual father, St. Joseph. Thank you for all of our blessings and all of the gifts that you've bestowed on all of us. And also for the talents that you have given to us as well. And we ask that you please send your Holy Spirit to be with us today as we reflect on the Chaste Guardian of the Virgin and for always. And we ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, day 12, Chaste Guardian of the Virgin, pray for us. It was necessary that divine providence should commit her, Mary, to the charge and guardianship of a man absolutely pure, St. Francis de Sales. Chastity is a virtue, a very important virtue. To be chaste is to have self-mastery, to be in control of your passions and sexuality. Contrary to what many people think, a person who exercises chastity is not repressing or rejecting the beauty of human sexuality. On the contrary, chastity preserves the human heart and body for authentic self-giving. All people, no matter their vocation in life, are called to chastity. Chastity is the virtue that prevents us from being slaves to our passions and acting like irrational animals. Celibacy, on the other hand, is a special form of chastity. God calls some men and women to celibacy for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Saint Joseph was both chaste and celibate. He was called by God to espouse a virgin consecrated to God in her mind, body, and soul. Saint Joseph was the chaste guardian of the Virgin. Saint Joseph and Mary lived in what is often called a Josephite marriage. They were truly husband and wife, but they never engaged in sexual relations. Their vocation was to be united in heart, mind, and soul, but never in body. They were both consecrated to God and sacrificed a natural good for a greater good, the salvation of souls. Saint Joseph is pure of heart. To be chaste is to be pure of heart. If a person's heart is not pure, they are incapable of seeing God. Saint Joseph's heart is exceptionally pure. Saint Joseph gazed on the countenance of God in the person of his son for decades. Poets have often stated that the eyes are the window to the soul. If that is true, Saint Joseph must have had the most chaste and pure eyes of any husband who ever lived. His eyes and heart were pure intentioned, chaste, and afire with love for Jesus and Mary. Modern man has become blinded by impurity. The world encourages premarital relations, cohabitation, contraception, and many other immoral practices. Chastity is a forgotten virtue today. Even married couples live with the idea that they are free to do whatever they desire with the body of their spouse. However, this is not true. Chastity is required in marriage as well. In order for couples to truly love one another, to retain their dignity and respect for each other. your spiritual father is a gentleman. Saint Joseph is the first Christian gentleman. Next to Jesus, he is the greatest example of masculine chastity. He was married to the most beautiful woman in the world, and he treated her with respect, dignity, and reverence. If men today were more like Saint Joseph, protectors and defenders of beauty, instead of users and abusers of the feminine mystery, what a different world this would be. God wants all men to be like Saint Joseph. He is the first chaste guardian of the virgin. Most men will be called to marriage, while some are called to consecrated celibacy. Both vocations are necessary. Without marriage, there are no children. Without priests, there are no sacraments. Married men need to be chaste in marriage. Priests and bishops need to be like Saint Joseph in their chaste love for the virginal church, guardians, defenders, and protectors of the beauty entrusted to them, not users and abusers of the sacred mysteries. Joseph, the just man, is appointed to be the steward of the mysteries of God. The paterfamilias and guardian of the sanctuary, which is Mary, the bride, and the Logos in her. He, Joseph, thus becomes the icon of the bishop, to whom the bride is betrothed. She is not at his disposal, but under his protection. Pope Benedict XVI. Wonder 4, Virginal Father of Jesus. Since there is nothing on record that he, Saint Joseph, ever had any other spouse than the Virgin Mary, it is also certain that he remained a virgin all his life. Saint Jerome. Feast of the Holy Spouses. No husband and wife ever loved one another so much as Joseph and Mary. The Venerable Fulton J. Sheen. Did you know there is a liturgical feast that celebrates the marriage of Mary and Joseph? It's called the Feast of the Holy Spouses, sometimes also referred to as the Feast of the Espousals of Mary and Joseph. The Feast of the Holy Spouses has a long history going all the way back to the 15th century. The day traditionally designated for the feast is January 23rd. In a few countries, the feast is celebrated on January 22nd or November 26th, but those dates tend to be exceptions. Nobody is exactly sure why January 23rd was chosen as the day for the feast, but we are given a fascinating insight into the date in the mystical visions of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, 1774 to 1824. In the accounts we have of her visions, Blessed Anne Catherine claims to have been transported to the marriage of Mary and Joseph and witnessed the ceremony. Blessed Anne Catherine offers details about the wedding and explicitly mentions the date of the marriage. She writes, "The espousals took place, I think, upon our 23rd of January. They were celebrated in Jerusalem on Mount Zion in a house used for such feasts." Another mystic, Venerable Mary of Agreda, 1602 to 1665, also claims to have had visions about the lives of Mary and Joseph. She wrote extensively about her mystical experience and claims to also have been present at the wedding of Mary and Joseph. Her account of the wedding provides detailed descriptions of such things as the dress Our Lady wore, the stateliness and attractiveness of Saint Joseph, and the joy experienced by everyone in attendance. Venerable Mary of Agreda wrote the following about what she witnessed at the wedding of Mary and Saint Joseph. By divine operation, the two most holy and chaste spouses felt an incomparable joy and consolation on their wedding day. The heavenly princess, as one who is the mistress of all virtues, lovingly corresponded to the desires of Saint Joseph. The Most High also gave to Saint Joseph new purity and complete command over his natural inclinations so that he might serve his spouse Mary. Why don't more people know about the liturgical feast of the Holy Spouses? Well, unfortunately, the feast is not on the universal liturgical calendar of the Church. The Feast of the Holy Spouses is only celebrated in a few shrines dedicated to Saint Joseph. For example, the Oratory of Saint Joseph in Montreal, Canada. A few dioceses where the local bishop has approved it, and in several religious communities dedicated to Saint Joseph. One notable religious community that celebrates the Feast of the Holy Spouses is the Oblates of Saint Joseph, founded in Asti, Italy, by Saint Joseph Morello in 1878. The Oblates of Saint Joseph are a wonderful religious community of men serving the Church, and they celebrate the feast annually on January 23rd. Their founder, Saint Joseph Morello, was a very holy bishop who had a tremendous love of and devotion to Saint Joseph. He was canonized by Saint John Paul II in 2001. Interestingly, in 2002, Saint John Paul II also offered the world the Luminous Mysteries of the Rosary. The Luminous Mysteries were actually founded in 1957 by St. George Preca of Malta, but St. John Paul II offered them to the Universal Church to help us call to mind important truths of Christianity that were under attack today. The second Luminous Mystery is the wedding feast at Cana. In meditating on this mystery, we are reminded that marriage is between a man and a woman. Since this perennial truth is so hotly contested today, the Church needs a universal liturgical feast that celebrates marriage. It would be truly wonderful if the Church placed the Feast of the Holy Spouses on the universal liturgical calendar. Such a feast would serve as a reminder to all men and women of the sanctity of holy matrimony. What a delight it would be to liturgically celebrate the holiest couple who ever lived. Let us pray that more places request permission to celebrate the Feast of the Holy Spouses, and that someday it may be placed on the universal liturgical calendar. Everything that refers to the marriage of Mary and Joseph happened by an intimate disposition of the Holy Spirit. Saint Bonaventure. The Litany of Saint Joseph. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, hear us. Christ, graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God, the Holy Trinity. God the Holy Spirit, have mercy on us. Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy on us. Holy Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Noble offspring of David, pray for us. Light of patriarchs, pray for us. Spouse of the Mother of God, pray for us. Chaste guardian of the Virgin, pray for us. Foster father of the Son of God, pray for us. Zealous defender of Christ, pray for us. head of the Holy Family, pray for us. Joseph, most just, pray for us. Joseph, most chaste, pray for us. Joseph, most prudent, pray for us. Joseph, most courageous, pray for us. Joseph, most obedient, pray for us. Joseph, most faithful, pray for us. Mirror of patience, pray for us. Lover of poverty, pray for us. Model of workmen, pray for us. Glory of domestic life, pray for us. Guardian of virgins, pray for us. Pillar of families, pray for us. Comfort of the afflicted, pray for us. Hope of the sick, pray for us. Patron of the dying, pray for us. Terror of demons, pray for us. Protector of the Holy Church, pray for us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. He has made him Lord of his household and Prince over all his possessions. Let us pray. O God, who in your loving providence chose blessed Joseph to be the spouse of your most holy mother, grant us the favor of having him for our intercessor in heaven, whom on earth we venerate as our protector. You who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. All right. A little bit of a shorter day today with the reading and reflection here for today, but as we reflect here on the chaste guardian of the Virgin, a couple of the points I wanted to highlight, which actually are in bold or in blue, I should say, on this day, is that Joseph is pure of heart, and to be chaste is to be pure of heart. And we've all heard the saying, the eyes are the windows to the soul. And Joseph's eyes were, and his heart were pure intentioned. He was chaste and afire with love for both Jesus and Mary. And and also that that our spiritual father is a gentleman. And this is something that we're also called to be, our gentlemen, where we're protectors and defenders of beauty instead of users and abusers of feminine mystery. And one thing I wanted to just kind of point towards here is one of the mystics, the Venerable Mary of Agreda, made mention that at the wedding of Mary and Joseph, the Most High also gave to Saint Joseph new purity and complete command over his natural inclinations so that he might serve his spouse, Mary. Wow. This is incredible, and this is something that I know for many people, they find the visions and the descriptions and the stories that the mystics share. You know, some people hold, you know, at arm's length, you know, in questioning these, but as you read through these, this was a very true and very beautiful, very pure vision that Mary of Agreda was able to be gifted with here, and that the Most High was able to give that purity and complete command over his natural inclination so he could best serve our Lady. And this is something that we, as we go through our consecration to Saint Joseph, you don't have to wait until consecration day to have your prayer life and your relationship with Saint Joseph. This is an example here where, you know, you can ask Saint Joseph to share that gift that the Most High was able to bestow on him, and ask Saint Joseph to help share and lead you towards that purity and complete command over your natural inclination, so you can best serve your spouses. But what a great reflection here today. And lastly, the one thing that I might recommend is marking your calendars whenever you are listening to this, whether this date is passed or this date is right around the corner. January 3rd is the Feast of the Holy Spouses. And if you get a chance on January 3rd, be sure to wish our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph a happy anniversary, because that is a very special day for them. So, in closing, I would say tomorrow we will be looking into and reflecting on the foster father of the Son of God. So, and if you're keeping track of things, it is official. We are past the one-third mark, one-third of the way through. So as we close out day 12 and approach day 13, thanks again for listening along. And I'm really looking forward to continuing this journey with you tomorrow. So have a great day today.